Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Thank you because your word is true from the beginning. By the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were made. Thank you because without the word, nothing in our world is made. And the word became flesh and dwell in the neighborhood. Thank you for the blessing of your word. We live by your word. We live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And because of that, our lives are like the trees planted by the streams. We are bearing fruits in every season, and all that we do prospers. Thank you for the blessing over your word. Let the entrance of your word give us again understanding tonight. Thank you because the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide in our lives forever. Amen. We thank you for your blessing. Your word will bring health to our bodies. Your word will bring prosperity to our souls. Your word will bring, Lord, vision to our eyes. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen and amen, amen and amen. Greet 1, 2, 3 people around you. Just welcome them in the name of the Lord. Say happy Easter to them. Happy Easter, happy Easter, happy Easter. Dave, it's good to see you. Welcome back home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. How was your day? I need response. How was your day? Yeah, it was good. Good. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. We live by His word. It's just that song captured the details of my message tonight. I titled this True Knowledge. True Knowledge. The Bible says, true knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. True knowledge. The entrance of His word gives us light and understanding. We live in a time, in an hour, that people are also beginning to question the validity or the relevance of God's word. But hey, we cannot question it. I said this, and I believe that it is true. That a lot of the times, believers are not even sure of the promises of God in His word for us, so we are not even able to live in the realities of them. In Proverbs 19:2, it says, for a soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. So, true knowledge, the righteous shall be delivered. And if there is anything that over time, we have taught around in the body of Christ is the word deliverance. And so tonight I want to get a little bit into that word, and there's just something about it. And as we celebrate Easter, really believers must know what we have been delivered from. Bible says in Colossians 1:13, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are delivered. And then we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, of His love. So we are delivered from the power of darkness. He said, in him, that is in Jesus. So if we are not sure of that, we might be struggling all through our Christian experience with the subject of deliverance. But I'm trusting God for illumination here tonight, that the eyes of our understanding, and maybe you are watching online, will be flooded with God's word light. And then through this light, the entrance of this word will bring us understanding. And it will help us to progress in our faith walk in Jesus' name. So I read two scriptures, but I titled this True Knowledge. True Knowledge. Isaiah 10:27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It said, it shall come to pass in that day. That is, in that day that your heart and my own heart is filled with that knowledge. It shall come to pass in that day when the light of God's word shines through whatever represents darkness in our lives. It said, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, whose burden? Satanic burden. Satanic, I mean, if there is something that the devil does to the mind of the believer, is to help them to not to trivialize God's word. But he said, such burden, sometimes the burden will represent sickness, sometimes the burden will represent sin, sometimes the burden will represent lack, sometimes the burden will represent insufficiency, sometimes that burden will represent fear in the heart of the believer. But he said, in that day, that's burden. The burden wasn't placed there by God. He said, that burden, because God is the one who delivers. Satan is the oppressor. God is the deliverer. Amen. Acts 10:38 says that, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So it means God can be the one who is putting people in bondage and at the same time be the one who is delivering them. So he said, it shall come to pass in that day that the burden of Satan will be taken away from your shoulder, and then his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. I mean, the recent translation, that's why they had oil to it. Some other translation says, because of Christ and his anointing. Christ and his anointing. Because that's the one who spoils principalities and powers for us. And he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So it shall come to pass. That's the first scripture. That's a greater scripture on deliverance. I picked that from the Old Testament to let you know that God is interested in this subject of deliverance. And as we will learn together tonight. But in the New Testament, let me also put another witness. John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. That's the greatest scripture any believer must know about deliverance. John 8, 32. John 8, 32. He said, and you shall know the truth. It's as plain as that. You will know the truth. And the truth that you know shall make you free. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So technically we can say, and you shall know Jesus. And then the knowledge of Jesus that you know shall make you free. You will know the word. And it's the word, because the word of God is the truth. You will know the word. And the word that you know will be the one that makes you free. The word of God is Jesus, John 1:1. So as we'll increase in the knowledge of Jesus, we increase the intensity of our freedom. So whatever the yoke represents, I've said it earlier on, and I'm going to use a scripture to illustrate that for us tonight. You see, when you apply the word, when you apply the truth, it's like putting an axe There is a tree, it has taken space, but you put the axe of the word, and as you cut it gradually, the lifespan of that, the expected day of falling of that tree is inevitable. Because what makes that tree to be stored in the heart is what you are trying to cut. So if you cut it by the root, you are cutting off the life. And it's a matter of time, that thing that represents obstacle will have to come down. So, Isaiah 10:27, I want you to please write it down because you might need to share this with other people. Isaiah 10:27, John 8:32. In verse 36 of this John 8, Jesus also make an interesting statement. Verse 36, he said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So, therefore, we can read it this way. If you increase in the knowledge of the Son, who is the Word of God, and you are experiencing that freedom, you shall come to a state where you are free indeed. Can I have an amen tonight? So let me make a quick introduction. And the quick introduction is what you probably have read in the Bible. The Word of God is true from the beginning. The Word of God is true from the beginning. You see, the same Word that created the heavens and the earth, that's the same Word we are still dealing with today. And that Word is a personality. So, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, John 1:1. And the Word was God. So, the Word of God is true from the beginning. Inherent in this Word. We call it in Bible today. But inherent in this Word are, number one, principles. Principles. Number two, precepts. There are two, many, many. So in this Word, you will read about principles of God, precepts of God. Number three, promises of God. Promises of God. You will read about the practices of God. And you will read about the prophecies of God. Can I have an amen? So, you want to know how to live? Principles of God. You want the Word to guide you on a daily basis? Precepts of God. You want to understand the promises of God, which the Bible says they are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus? You find it here. You want to understand how God operates, practices of God. I didn't know that until much, much later. Because if I had knew, maybe I would be a good student of mathematics. They said that mathematics is one of the easiest subjects. Why? What they do with principle of math is that they can't ask you something outside the example. So they solve in almost mathematical textbook. The problems are solved. Even if it's an equation, you see an example of it. And if you can learn precept upon precept, if you can learn how they arrive at such answers, which are practices, you can predict the outcome at every instant when you are faced with any mathematical equation. I had F9, so I'm not afraid to say it. And it was just that mindset that math is, I don't know if they saw that same mindset to you. Math is hard. So the passion for it, the emotion to enjoy it, we just believe that it is hard. And then we believe also, that's another mindset, that you have to be extra brilliant for you to be able to resolve mathematical issues. But later on, a prof of math told me, if you can learn to follow examples, you will be able to deal with any mathematical equation. Can I have an amen? So if we can learn the precepts of God, the principles of God, the practices of God, God will never speak to any of us outside his word. God will never instruct you outside his word. So there are principles of God concerning health, concerning marriage, concerning relationship with other people, concerning ethics, concerning business, as it were. If you can just follow those practices, and we have living examples here of those who follow, and then we have example of those who did not follow, we can see the outcome, and then we can make decisions. So we can predict our walk as Christians. Praise God. I said, praise God. Not only in this world, we can even predict the one to come. I mean, as we are seated here tonight, everybody, if we close our eyes in death, everybody knows where they are going. And the people out there who don't have this relationship with Jesus, they also know. I mean, there is no void. People know at their head. If you have been around those who are living here on the earth, they begin to do certain things, they begin to say certain things. And as a matter of fact, it's after they exit. I say, oh, does this person know that they are actually living here? Because, I mean, that's the way God created man. God created man, put himself in man. But man, by act of his will, I mean, rebel against God. So it's either that void, that part of God is covered, is filled by God himself, or the man, by act of his will, allow the devil to fill that void. So the word of God is true from the beginning. That's the first thing I like to say. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, we're talking about how this knowledge works. It's like this is a kingdom. It's a kingdom culture. We are in Nigeria. We have a sovereign nation. So it's called the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Inherent in this Federal Republic is our constitution. It guides our behavior, the right to life, the right to living, the right to education, the right to housing. And so that's what you find. In Proverbs 11:9, I want us to read these scriptures together. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. Proverbs 11, 9. I need your help. Okay. So, Proverbs 11, 9. Can we read 1, 2, 3, go? Proverbs 11, 9. Neighbor, but true knowledge that righteous shall be delivered. Can you see the two people? One is an hypocrite, the one who trivialized God's word, and with his mouth he destroyed his neighbor. But true knowledge, the righteous shall be delivered. Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. In NLT, he said, the word of God holds true. Holds true. The word of God holds true. In Luke 1:37, in NLT, he said, for the word of God, we never fail. Luke 1:37, for the word of God, we never fail. Mark 13:31. Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. So we know that the word of God is true. We know that the word of God does not fail. Why am I emphasizing this tonight? There is that temptation to want to lose focus on the word of God. There's that temptation to want to pick up maybe practices that are outside the word of God. There is one, I mean, it's just there. You see, if laws are not defined in Nigeria, do you know that many people will be doing many things at the expense of other people? Yeah, so it's the same thing with the kingdom culture. So the word of God gives us the boundaries how to live our lives. The word of God gives us what is possible. I mean, if you allow people can just do anything they want to do. But the constitution will not allow that. So there are framework. So when it comes to freedom, living our lives to please God all the days of our lives, the word of God has given us that boundaries. Can I have an amen? So what is the responsibilities that we have? Because this word must work for us. Proverbs 35. Proverbs 35. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs 35. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Proves true. He's a shield to all who come to him for what? Protection. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. I'm just trying to build up towards something tonight. Paul says, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. If you read NKJV, he said, we are sent to make men come to the fellowship of this mystery. Easter is here. We are sent to help people. Let them know that Jesus has made them free. Let them know that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So in John 8:32 again, which is our text, when people come to the knowledge of this truth, that knowledge of that truth, we do what? We make them free or set them free. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Says, certainly not, indeed. Let God be true, but every man a liar. He said, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words, and you may overcome when you are judged. So basically, when we look at the canvas of our faith walk, a lot of us are not even sure. That's the truth. So when it comes to the subject of deliverance, having knowledge in the things of God, a lot of believers are not sure. They are not sure of their faith. They are not sure about the validity of God's word. And it shows. Small problem, some people just lose their faith. Small problem, they lose their confession. Small problem or small challenge of life, they even say it. I don't even know what is happening to me. No, that should not be our confession. We will know the truth. Things may happen, but he said the knowledge of the truth that we are exposed to, that's what gives us freedom. Can I have an amen tonight? Even in our world, people are easily swayed by every wind of doctrine. In our world, people are swayed by practices that doesn't have the root in God's word. Just because the generality of people are doing something doesn't make it is true. We need to understand that when we know the truth, it's the knowledge of that truth that has the power to make free. Praise God. Believers don't fully grasp God's word on sin, on sickness, on poverty, on prosperity, on wealth, on kingdom culture and responsibilities that are attached. That's the truth. And there is just something the Bible says in Hosea 4:6. I want us to read it. Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4, verse 6. And we read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So can you see? It didn't say those people are destroyed because of the devil. It didn't say they are destroyed because of demon spirit. Because for God to put the word my people, it means we are his people. Can I have an amen? It means we have been delivered, isn't it? It means we are conveyed into the kingdom of his dear son. And it means that we need to begin to walk in the light as he is in the light. I want to touch on things. People say this. Even when you find out that there are certain things, you know, repeated patterns, maybe in family setting and all that, the knowledge of the truth, that's what will bring deliverance to you. Can I have an amen? Can I have an amen? Yeah, that's the way it is. And I'm showing you very shortly how these things work. You see, I can lay hands on someone and rebuke the devil's spirit. I can cancel generational curses, as it were. But the person that thing is canceled over must be exposed to the knowledge of God's truth. That is what guarantees their freedom. Because if I'm casting the demons out, it's based on my own understanding of the truth of God's word. And if that person, the recipient, will remain free, he must also begin to grow in that knowledge. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, medical science explains what I'm about to say in another way. But the truth is that, you know, sometimes you are sleeping and it's as if things are pressing you down. You know you can be pursuing deliverance because of that thing. But the day you wake up and say, you are very stupid, the devil. If you are so powerful, you can come now. I'm awake. You know, such things don't have any authority over your life anymore. It's not, for example, you know, I see this a lot, but just to encourage people's faith, you just flow. So you have a newborn babe, on top of the cloth, they open Psalm 91 there. If Psalm 91 is not in your heart, if anything will happen, it will happen to the baby. Can I have an amen? You enter into some people's room, their Bible are roughened because they have passages that they open. They put it under their pillow. If it's under your pillow and it's not in your heart, the devil can still come and oppress you. Can I have an amen tonight? That's what I'm saying. The devil can mess you up if you don't have the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. For example, we are here now. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So if there is any trespasser here, the power that is in this room, how can adjure that demon spirit? And that's why you get into some meeting and people shout and scream and all that. But the truth is that after they shout and scream, if they don't increase in their knowledge of truth, because as a believer, you are not supposed to be oppressed by the devil. The devil can still come and obsess your mind. And true carnality can do his work in and through your life. But hey, the knowledge of the truth, I don't know how it happens, but I've seen it many times. If you are cooking soup, delicious soup, in an open space, it attracts flies. But they have not burned that fly to say it wants to leak. And usually when they want to leak, they find themselves in the pot of soup. It's the same thing. Your life, you must increase. I mean, we were strangers to this covenant, but now we are fellow citizens with the saint. And so true knowledge, whatever it is that is oppressing people out there, they have no authority over us anymore. Can I have an amen? Or are you afraid? Let's read one scripture for you to know. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. I know some people have different theology around what I'm preaching around tonight, but hey, let's just simplify the word the way it is. If the word of God says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, let's believe and take it that way. And everyone who also believes that must walk in accordance to that. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Who is complete? Eh? Are you sure? Are you are what? Read on. Who is the subhead? Who is co-head? So even the agapata is their head, Abby. Satan, demon spirit, is the head. In other words, not that he sits over the kingdom of darkness, but he has authority over them. Because he said, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. And maybe one of these days, we just look at the origin of Satan himself, demon spirit. We just teach around that so that you know. He wasn't created the devil. Sin, it was because he sinned from the beginning, he was casted out. And then he made up his mind to taunt, let me use that word, T-A-U-N-T, to taunt the image of God in man. That's why Hebrews says, those who are Jesus, one of the ministry of Jesus, is to deliver those who are afraid of death and who have been subject to this bondage all through their lives. Can I have an amen tonight? So we are complete. But you see, as that word is very clear, like 7-up, if you don't live according to the principle of God's word, you can be oppressed. You can be obsessed by the devil. So when we look at the canvas of our faith walk, a lot of believers are not even sure about what they believe. Some people are swayed by every wind of doctrine. Some people don't even understand God's word on the subject of sin, sickness, poverty, prosperity, wealth, kingdom, culture, and the responsibilities that are attached. But you see, from our text tonight, in that Isaiah 10:27, the Bible is so clear. It is the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing. It's not the shouting and the gymnastic. The entrance of God's word, the anointing rests upon the word in your heart. And that's what guarantees your confession. That's what guarantees your disposition. If you take God's word as it is, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. And sometimes you are still struggling. Can I have an amen to that? Yeah. But if you grow in the knowledge of what it takes to be a conqueror, you will master that thing. Very soon, you will be looking at it. You become a master over it. Can I have an amen tonight? Do you understand what I'm trying to do? Yeah. It's to make you see the fellowship of this mystery. It pains me when people are looking for deliverance. They just get into activities or practices that people have brought into Christianity. The disciples of Jesus, they were around the word of God. Did you read all through the thing that they were delivered? Jesus had a deliverance service. He said they were the one delivering people. Even at that time, that they weren't even baptized in the Holy Ghost as we are today. So, yokes can represent anything. Like I said, it can represent sickness, disease, lack, disappointment. These are things that when you go to any deliverance service that people build point on. Bad habits, demonic activities. But you see, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit on God's word. That's what makes that bondage to be broken. But even if it's broken in that service, believers have the responsibility to increase in the knowledge of God's word. Can I have an amen? So, when we know the truth in this matter is God's word. The knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of that truth, that's what brings establishment and freedom to us as believers. And Jesus said something in John 6:63. He said, the word that he speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life. So, when I'm making a confession, it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the revealed word in my heart that gives expression. And then if there are yokes attached to that, it breaks it. So, my obedience to God's word must be complete. So, I'm able to deal with every act of disobedience. Can I have an amen tonight? So, God's word, this word, Jesus, even Jesus, the word of God himself, has to be anointed by the Holy Spirit before he can go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So, the word is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And when that revelation is in place, that anointing, that's what breaks the yoke. The devil doesn't know baby Ayo Daniel in that name. It's the name of Jesus through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the words in the mouth of Ayo Daniel that breaks the yoke. Can I have an amen? Did you get that now? So if Ayo Daniel is empty, the Holy Spirit doesn't have something to walk through. And so it might be like every other word that is spoken by any motivational speaker. Can I have an amen? Amen. Look at what Jesus said in John 17:17. Can we read together? John 17:17. So for you to understand it, the word of God is the platform. That's what the Holy Spirit used. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. Wrap them up. In Yoruba translation, efi amure oro yin bo won oro tito yin mu. Sanctify them with your truth. Say, someone di mi money nu otito. Otito ni oro re. Make them wholly consecrated with the truth. Your word is what? Concentrating truth. Please, brother, sister, you see, I understand the place where other people pray for us. It's okay, it's good. But you can't sustain your Christian life that way. It's not sustainable. It's not. In fact, in Hebrews, Paul was writing, he said, by the time some people ought to be teachers, they're still looking for, it's not even the meat, they're still looking for people who will teach them the elementary meek. By the time they are supposed to be cracking bones, they're still looking for meek. I mean, Tomini is here. Jeremiah is here. If they are making and I'm putting feeding but they themselves will not receive it. But there are many Christians like that. And if you don't give them that feeding but I'm not against it, but such Christians, they know every prayer house. If you run that way, one day they will tell you that it's a prayer house and you will enter and you'll find out that it's a shrine. Have done and you just realize that it's, I mean, I read something. I think you can relate with this, Authority of the Believer, where in that book there was an experience that someone had somewhere on the street of New York. I think for some of us who have read this book. And you know, there is these places where people use piano. And I know those who are into music, they all understand also what I'm about to say. So it's like somebody came for an holiday in New York and he just saw service 7 p.m. So he just entered and he just saw a spotlight on like a piano and somebody was praying. He said he didn't even know that people were seated there, but it was, the whole environment was very captivating and all that. And then somebody came after 10 minutes and was conjoining some things. And some people were screaming as if miracle. He said, but what he realized was that when he lifted up his head, he realized that everybody was wearing black suit. So he said, something just rose within him. This is not right. So he went out. I mean, they were elite people. So he went out, looked at the name again, did the research, and he realized that it was a cult. But people were talking that healing were taking place and all that. See, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know whose you are, you don't know your right and privileges in Him, Yoruba translation, they will use your head to collect things. So please, I know that this may look somewhat, but that's the truth. No matter the deliverance, no matter the thing, if you don't increase in the knowledge of God's word, you may not be able to sustain whatever. If all the preachers in this world lay hands on you, if you don't go into the world and find things out for yourself, and be like the Berean Christians to check if those things are so, you may not be able to sustain whatever you receive through that impartation. Can I have an amen tonight? So the word is the platform of expression. So in John 8:32, we can simply read it this way. You shall know the word, and your knowledge of the word shall make you free. It's your knowledge. So it also means if you don't know the word, if I don't know the word, I will be bound or banned. If I don't know the word, I will be exposed to failure. If I don't know the word, I will shipwreck my faith as a Christian, as a believer. If I don't know the word, I will be stumbling by the wayside. You know the parable of the sower? Some fell by the wayside. I will be distracted, maybe by deceitfulness of riches. I will be distracted by the pressure. And if there is anything the devil has successfully done in our time and day, is to give us what is called busyness. We have time for every other thing but the word of God. We have time. I've done it severally. We have time for TV. We have time to watch series. We have time for football. We have time for every other thing except the time for the word of God. And that time for the word of God, it's what is going to sustain us through life. Can I have an amen? So if we don't know the word, we can remain bound. And in my own little walk as Christian, I've met such people. They're always saying, pray for me. I have bad dream. Pray for me. I want to know the will of God. Pray for me. It's as if something is running in my body. Pray for me. Whatever is running in your body, you come to a day one day and say, everything that is running in this body, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and God can't stay in this body. I command you, go now in the name of the Lord Jesus. You need to come to that point. Such that when you see other people that things are working in their body, you can also lay hands on them and command it to go. Because through knowledge, the righteous is delivered. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So we can pray for people to be delivered, and they will, because we are exposed to the knowledge of the truth. We can pray for people to be free. I mean, we can have anointing service and people are prayed for and they are free. But hey, what we guarantee their freedom is their personal revealed knowledge in the word of God. Then we can engage the various styles that we engage in today in Christianity. We call them spiritual discipline. We can fast 3 days, 4 days, 100 days. We can engage in all those things. But after the fasting, what guarantees our deliverance is the knowledge of the truth of God's word. Can I have an amen? And you will agree with me. If you are going through such experiences, there is always a flow of the word. But your ability to continue, that's what guarantees that freedom. One of our fathers of faith, which is Kenneth E. Hagin, said something. He said, when he was pastoring, they used to have, engage in all this spspiritual discipline. So they would do deliverance service. So they will have results. People will be delivered because God will honor his word. But after some time, the whole thing will wane. He said they moved to getting free service. Then people will get free. They will be free. And then he said they will move to loosening service. And you know, we can all get cut off in all these things. Manifestations will occur because God wants to honor his word. But the truth is that it's not sustainable. So he said he was fasting and asking God one day, why is it that all these people, with all these things that we do, programs, loosening services, deliverance services, they keep coming back. He said the Lord told him, he said that, hey, you have to help them to see the word of God. He said, you will know the truth. So the power of the truth is what sets free. Freedom is John 8:36. That's why Paul was writing to the Galatians in Galatians 5:1. He said, stand therefore. So the knowledge of God's word, that's what helps our standing. We stand in the liberty where Christ has made us free. And we are not entangled by any yoke of bondage. Can I have an amen? So Isaiah now says, in that day, this body shall be taken off your shoulder. He said the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing that you are exposed to through God's word. So it's very critical. And as we celebrate Easter, please, I want to say, don't give up. Don't give up just because in the natural, it looks like your faith is not working. Because there is that tendency. And that's why people dip their hands into many things. And it's unfortunate today, and I'm bold to say it here today, this night, it's unfortunate when you hear somebody who was vibrant in the faith, maybe because of situation and circumstances, they are now patronizing Abalis. It's saddening. It doesn't encourage. And somebody who once believed that God is my refuge, God is my strength, and is looking for a football these days to be able to walk through life. No. And somebody who has once held on to this world, he said, no. Heaven help those who help themselves. The Bible is not, you will die cheaply. And God is not upset when you look for mercy. Anu. No. No. The Bible says, to the law and to the prophet, if this world did not produce result, it means there is no light in it. Isaiah 8:20. It's very important. It's very important. I mean, I can't tell you how this thing is to my soul. I will preach this word until I get my last breath. It doesn't matter. Even if the whole world does not believe in this, I believe the word of God. The word of God is true from the beginning. I may not have seen so many what you regard as miracles in the natural, but I've seen the miracle of changed lives in this world. My life is changing, and people who are connected to me, their lives is changing. What else do I want? You can't reduce this world to material things and say, for me to know that God is faithful is because I use this world to get Prado. What is Prado? What is G-Wagon? It's too cheap to just reduce our faith to that. There's one scripture. It's in Isaiah. The Bible says the word came to Jacob. Yeah? And that word light up a whole nation. In Psalm, David said, ask of me, and I will give you nations for your inheritance. So Prado is cheap. Nations. Please, let me say something to you tonight. And because I believe God has put this word in my heart, let's go for, he said, true knowledge. If this word is not true, I don't want to follow it. But I know it's true. So I'm not going to get my inheritance. Even though prayer is important, but it's not true prayer. Laying of hands is important, but it's not true laying of hands. You know, there are many things that we have. Anointing oil. Anointing people with oil. It's okay, we use it. We use faith extenders. Sometimes, you get into some cycle. They say, shout the wall of Jericho down. So, shouting down the wall, we can do it. And we will get victory. But that's not the main. Praising your way to victory, because I've seen that also. And we put our energy into it. What happened after you finish praying your way to victory in 150 hours, 78 hours? It is the word of God that will bring permanency in your life. Isaiah 48 says, the grass will wither, the flower will fade. Whatever you are seeing in the natural today, if you dedicate true knowledge, true increase in God's truth, you dedicate yourself to it, it will wither, it will fade. But at the end of the day, God's word will stand sure in our lives. The grass will wither, the flower will fade. Isaiah 48. But God's word will abide forever. God's word is what will bring us stability. Because there are many prayer warriors who are worried anyway. There are many prayer warriors who don't believe the word, but they believe in the power of the devil. They know the names of demons more than the name of God. So, the word will bring you stability and the protocols that are involved in winning in life. in Isaiah, I think chapter 30 or so, it said wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. The strength and the fear of God, your portion. Please don't get me wrong. Prayer is good. We must pray. Laying on of hands is good when you have people to join faith with yours for you to get through moment. It's also very important. Maybe they are led to use anointing oil on you. It's also very good. Shouting the wall of Jericho down over 2-3 days is also very good if it's divinely inspired. Praising your way into victory and all that service is also very good if it's divinely inspired. But hey, out of all those engagements, please make sure that you have the word of God that you are clinging on to. Because that's what will sustain such victory for you. Can I have an amen tonight? I believe you understand me. So I'm not trivializing prayer. I'm not trivializing praising our way into victory. I'm not shouting down the wall of Jericho that is sieged around 7 days and all that. And the 7 day we shout the name of Jesus 7 times and do things seven times, whatever it is good. But at the end of the day, let the rhema word drop in your heart. That's what gives you the victory. In Psalm 138, the Bible is so clear, so that we can understand it. Isaiah 33:6 talks about wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time and the strength of your salvation, the fear of the Lord, your treasure. In Isaiah 138, verse 2. So that's why you must understand it. If even God, Almighty God, has highly exalted his word, above his name. You can know how to chant the name of God, but he has. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, help us display it, because I'm still going to say, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. So, what I said earlier on is not trivializing praise. He said, for your loving kindness and your truth, and you know all those things we do, Allah Bada Nanto Wanu Ina will of Ina will and Ina will of Ina will. We do all those things. It's good. But at the end of the day, he said, for you have magnified your word above all your name. If you read it further, it now says in verse 8, and when that word is practically at work, he said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. You are not going to forsake the works of your hand. Can I have an amen tonight? So, the word is anointed by the Holy Spirit. So, when you know God's word, the anointed word is what permanently bless you and bring freedom and stability into your life. So, our focus is the word. In other words, our focus is Jesus, because Jesus is the word of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto him as the author and the finisher of our faith. Our focus is Jesus. Luke 10:19 says, he has given us power to tread upon scorpions, upon serpents, and over all the power of the enemy. The word has given us authority to use in his name, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord, when he comes upon us, he has anointed us and he has listed what he's doing. So the word of God is anointed. When he's anointed, there is no limit as to what we can use or the great Jesus can express himself. I close with this story. It's just something that will help us to be able to summarize our experiences tonight. In John chapter 4, you can read it when you get home, verses 46 to 53. It's a very interesting story. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 53. 46 to 53. John chapter 4. So Jesus came into that Canaan of Galilee where he had made water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And who says wise men, rich men don't seek Jesus? At least you can see their nobleman. But I want you to please take note of things in that story. Number one, he heard about Jesus. So he heard about the word of God. He heard about, and that's the principle how God works miracle. He heard about Jesus. And then secondly, he came to him. He came to him. It's not like the modern day that the owner of the house will be sleeping upstairs and prayer warrior will be praying for him. He came to Jesus. He came to him. Hebrews 11:6 confirmed that. He who comes to God must believe that he is. And then he's a rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he heard about Jesus, one. He came to Jesus. And then number three, which represents prayer, he besought him. Why? He knew that he cannot do anything on his own. So he besought him. This translation says he implored him. So there was petition through prayers. There was expectations. He knew Jesus was going to heal his son. And then verse 50 is so interesting. In verse 15, the man responded to the word. He responded. He believed. Verse 50 of that same chapter. I said 46 to 53. So verse 50, there was a response. A response to the instruction from the word. A response. He said, go your way. Your son shall live. And the Bible says, the man believed the word and then he went his way. But verse 53 is where I'm going here tonight. And it's the fact that faith is acting on the knowledge of God's word. That's what faith is. Here we see, I know that people talk about instantaneous miracles, but hey, this is a principle. The Bible says the Father knew the hour, the same hour that Jesus said to him. The Bible talks about, and the Son began to amend. So when you receive the word, I mean, sometimes it gives back to instantaneous miracle, but sometimes it's a gradual process. But as your expectation and trust and belief in that word increases, you will see that it produces more fruits in your life. Can I have an amen? So your faith is strengthened. I know that in the body, everybody wants instantaneous things. Miracles. And our natural world is also not epi matter. Instant milk, instant noodles, instant. So, in fact, you have some ministry that are called sharp sharp. No. God in this world, though, there are principles. Let me end that with that tonight. There are precepts. There are promises. There are practices. And there are prophecies. Even in the natural, when a woman receives a seed, it doesn't give birth the same day. So please, let's understand it. Sometimes the issue of deliverance, depending on whatever the yoke represents, if it's, for example, sickness. So sometimes there may be instantaneous miracle when it comes to healing. But there's sometimes the person feels better. The Bible talks about it in that passage. He said, and the son began to amend from that same hour. So until the next day, when the man asked, at what point did this boy got healed? And they said, at this particular hour. Then he realized that it was the same hour that Jesus made a pronouncement, go your way, for your son shall live. Christianity is not sharp sharp. Christianity is not obudoshele. Now. Today. Jesus, we answer you today. He answers you, but sometimes you need to amend to that promises which are yes and amen in him. They are yes and amen, but sometimes he needs to help you walk through the process. through the precept. It needs to mature your character. I'm not saying you will use sickness to mature your character. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm also saying that every promises of God, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we need to grow so that we can manage such blessing, so that our character can match what is bringing into our lives. I pray that your faith, you will not lose your faith. I pray that in this time, your faith is strengthened. Your faith receives strength from on high. I pray that all the promises of God, which the Bible says they are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus, will find expression in your life. I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be flooded with His light. I pray that you will see the fellowship of this mystery, and you will continually grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord our God will use you to touch our generation. We use you to bring good tidings in this generation. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Enjoy your evening.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org for more.